for the falling stars, the broken hearts, mansions in your mind, and all the roads that were lost, the signs you missed, turns that passed you by. Maybe it's not.
Live in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host, alongside Joseph Erdo. And somewhere in the universe, Greg Isaac is probably listening and driving.
Well, he knew that we were talking about dysfunctional families today. And so he knew that he was afraid of it, I would think.
Yeah, well, but yeah, but he's going to be a good part of the show. We could talk about perceptions.
I'll take his place.
Okay. Oh, you got some.
Just call me Greg.
Yeah?
Oh, great.
And
so
how,
tell us about the Isaac family then.
Oh, no. Better not.
Give me some time to think about
that. Oh, okay. Very good.
Yes. A good thought pattern.
That is our Dave's Random Enlightenment today, though.
It is? What is it?
It is the Isaac family holiday get-togethers.
Isaac family holiday get-togethers?
Yeah. Yeah.
That should be amazing.
Yeah, you've told us this on a previous show, some of these things that go on at your family gatherings. Yeah, but we want everyone's stories, too. So, you know, give us a call. The phone number is 602-252-1480. It is 602-252-1480. You know, throughout the show today, we're going to talk all about dysfunctional families and the holidays. How do you survive them? Do you have any funny stories to share with us? You know, any fights around the Thanksgiving table? And also, coming up at around 11 o'clock, we're going to have on a life coach who can, you know, give you some guidance on how to handle those stressful holiday dysfunctional family situations.
Wow, that should be fun.
Yes, a lot of fun.
That should be tons of fun. But I think people can relate to that because I think during the holidays, people, there is states of mind shift, and it can shift two ways. One, it could shift to the holiday spirit. So they take a vacation from all the stress or negativity, and they can, for a few days, pretend they're enlightened. Or they can go to major stress.
Yes.
And people can then feel sorry for themselves. People can see what they don't have versus the blessings of what they do have.
Wow. See?
Hey, that's profound, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very profound.
So, and Dave can give you some guidance as well. You don't have to wait for our life coach. Of course, you know, she's I'm sure, got some really helpful information. I've talked to her a little bit earlier this week about it, and I'm sure that Dave can help you as well. So again, 602-252-1480. We'd love to hear your holiday dysfunctional family stories. And also, near the end of the show today, we've got your best Black Friday freak out. Or something like that.
What does that mean? I don't even know.
Best Black Friday deals freakout.
Oh, you got the good deals? Any for computers?
Yes, I've got some of those. So
before Black Friday?
Yes, some of those are up as well. Yeah.
So, like this weekend, I can buy a new computer?
Yes, but the better deals are even on Black Friday, which starts on Thanksgiving this year.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we'll share all that with you. It's our second annual Best of Black Friday Deals Freakout, because last year we did something similar, and it got a little bit crazy, and because we get really excited about our Black Friday deals. Well, I can't even say it. I'm too excited already.
How late did you stay up last night?
How late did I stay up late? Not very late. Why? Oh. You did, though.
Yeah, I did, actually.
Yeah.
I saw the 9:30 Hunger Games.
Okay.
And there's 20 minutes of commercial, so that meant it was 9:50.
Yeah, it's 2.5 hours
13
long.
Seconds, plus two for getting to the seats, 9:50 and 15 seconds. And it was 2 hours and 36 minutes.
Did you ask for your money back afterwards?
No. Oh, you saw Hunger Games?
No, and I won't.
Why? I won't say the review yet, but...
We can start with that. You know, so...
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I'm too excited today. I'm too excited for Thanksgiving.
You are.
I love the holidays.
Oh, you
obviously.
Do?
Yes. But no, so to recap our Thursday show, I reviewed Hunger Games, Catching Fire... And I gave it a thumbs up, but...
A barely thumbs up. Yeah.
Because I thought it was way too open-ended. I felt that it doesn't serve as a standalone movie. You have to see the first one, and it doesn't have a full arc, and it ends way too much with a to-be-continued thing. So, barely a thumbs up, but I still thought it was entertaining. But Dave... I predicted that you were going to love it.
You love those things. You love like Twilight.
I do.
And Hunger Games.
Yeah.
What's the other ones that you like that are...
I'm romantic.
Ongoing?
Oh, the other ones? I like Oh, there's another one. The pants thing.
The pants thing.
The traveling pants I liked.
Sisters.
Yeah, that one. I like. I like Mamma Mia. Oh, boy. I do. Okay, what can you do? But Hunger Games, Catching Fire, big thumbs up. I don't know if it's a breakthrough yet. I may have to see it a second time to determine if it's a breakthrough.
It's like 5 hours.
But it's the fastest 2.5 hours I've ever been through. I got to tell you, that was fast. I couldn't believe it ended already. It just seemed like it started. Now, the first half, you mentioned, you sort of segmented in a couple parts there.
I said it was, the first half was like an art film, and the second half was an action film. I thought that it was a little bit unbalanced there. People who wanted to see the action, I thought, would be really, really tired waiting for it. Hungry for the games to begin and something to catch fire, as I said it.
Well, exactly. But I thought it was fantastic, the first half, and segued beautifully into the action. And the ending, too, was the perfect, I think, setup for the next phase. The first half continued to build the characters. I mean, character development's everything, I think, in a film. And without it, it's a problem. That was maybe a small problem with All Is Lost. There wasn't character development necessarily. We didn't know why he was on the boat. But nevertheless, I filled in the blanks, so I was happy. The strength and loyalty and beauty of Katniss was—is that her name, Katniss? Yeah, was developed further. The compassion, selflessness of PETA was.
Yes, yeah, they're the ones that they're not allowed to ride the Thanksgiving
PETA jungle
float.
What's his name? PETA.
It's a meat float at the parade.
Oh, yeah.
Right, PETA?
Oh. But his compassion and selflessness continued. The brilliance of the writer, I thought it was amazing. The superb acting of Woody Harrelson and Donald Sutherland continued to be phenomenal. I thought the twist, I won't spoil it, but there's the twist in that in the movie, which was really nice. I like that a lot. The action and creativity of the movie. The ending was perfect, set up what's next. I loved it. Big thumbs up. Maybe a breakthrough, not sure yet.
Wow. Wow. Well, I would say just a mild thumbs up for me. Yeah. So who do we have here? We got a special guest who wants to share something.
We do? Oh, yes. Miss Tricia. Hello.
Hello. I had to interject. Did either of you read the books?
No.
Okay. I didn't read the books.
I'm
Eric,
sorry.
Did you read the books?
No.
Okay. That explains so much.
Emphatically no.
Because I have to say that how they were going to fit Catching Fire, the book, into this movie, I was worried. But they really did hit a lot of the most important parts. But it is a transition book. It's a bridging book between 1 and 3. And that's exactly what the movie did, was that it went as a transition from 1 to 3. When they did start, I thought, wow, that's an abrupt start for people who didn't see number 1. But so I do agree with Joseph on that. But, oh, I think they did a phenomenal job. And I'm sorry, the costuming, phenomenal.
Oh, that was nice. How about that wedding dress?
I was wondering how the heck they were going to do those two transitions with the gowns and the
dress. That was nice, wasn't it?
Wonderful.
Yeah. It was very good. I liked it a lot. So, Joseph, you'll have to see it again. And,
no, thank you.
Okay, maybe he won't.
No,
but you will see the third one, right?
Greg's see the third one, yes. I will see
it. Eric, will you see it?
Hunger Games?
You won't see it.
I absolutely not, no.
What if I pay?
I saw the first one on a plane ride back from New York.
You did?
And there's no way I'm going to invest any more time into that.
Did you see Twilight films?
I saw the first one, and no way am I going to watch any more of those.
I loved it.
I like Hunger Games. I don't know. I like Hunger Games better than some of the Twilight films. I really like the last two Twilights, especially The Birth.
Oh, you like the last two?
Yeah, yeah.
Not the first one? I thought the first one was the best. Did you see the first one?
I think I'm going to have to watch the Twilight series with you, dear, because I will tell you, I was not turned on by the first one. I never read the book series, so for me, I was kind of like you guys are with Hunger Games.
It's like Harry Potter. That's how I see all these films.
Yeah, but
I didn't like Harry Potter.
I don't either, but that's what I'm saying. The Hunger Games, Twilight, it's all like Harry Potter to me.
No, wizardry stuff, no thank you.
Yeah, I didn't like Harry Potter.
Or Narnia.
Who?
Narnia Chronicles.
Oh, yeah, Narnia. Yeah, that wasn't that good either.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Dave.
Yeah, but Mamma Mia. Ooh, okay.
All right. Well, on that note, that song that took us into the show was from Cold Turkey. It's called Theme from Pasadena, and it's by Ben Folds and Alicia Witt, one of the stars of our main movie today that we're talking about. It's a dysfunctional family holiday movie. called Cold Turkey.
I saw the trailer.
Yeah. Well, we'll tell you all about it in just a second. But throughout the show today, you know, because this is kind of our part two of our Thanksgiving series. I think we had a show earlier this month, a Thanksgiving show. And so this is kind of like wrapping it up. But I picked a couple clips from one of my favorite episodes, Thanksgiving episodes of a TV show. It was Third Rock from the Sun. I know Greg's here and he'll join us in just a few moments. I'm sure that he loves this episode from Third Rock, their very first Thanksgiving. And so first, throughout the show, we'll play a couple clips from it. But this first one is all about the supermarket. So if we can go with the first clip from Third Rock from the Sun.
Terrible crisis. We were at the store and the place was a madhouse. People were cramming everything they could into their carts, especially these giant balls of butter. I got one for each of us.
I'm telling you, something is up. The radio said the airports were jammed with people trying to get out of town.
As a matter of fact, I just saw a report on a turkey ranch, and those birds were talking apocalypse.
Apocalypse?
Well, more like apocalypse.
What does this all mean?
Well, I have a thought. We're all gonna die!
So they don't quite understand the concept of Thanksgiving and why the airports are, you know, and why there's a parade later on in the show. They say that there's a parade that's on every channel, and you know that's my favorite part of Thanksgiving.
The parades.
The parade, yes, absolutely.
Because you bring your duck.
Right, yes, right.
And the duck's a big hit.
Yes, yes. And speaking of a big hit, we were a big hit last Saturday at the Anthem, the outlets at Anthem tree lighting.
That's right.
That was
you
wonderful.
Did a good job out in the crowd.
Thank you. And we gave away VIP tickets to see The Hobbit. We had a few winners for that. And also we gave out a lot of tickets for Frozen. Yes, the movie, which we're going to be talking about next week on next Saturday's show.
Oh, and what's your duck's name?
Frozen.
There you go.
Yes.
Some people got even tickets to take Frozen for a couple weeks.
No, thank you. No. Yeah, no?
No. Would he not like it?
Well, I'm sure that Danny would take Frozen, my friend from China would take Frozen.
But he would thaw him out and cook him.
He wouldn't come back.
Oh, he would?
No. No. Oh. No, thank you.
That would be bad.
Right.
Okay.
So, but anyway, let's talk a little bit about Cold Turkey, because we've got a really jam-packed show today. Again, all about dysfunctional families, and we'd love for you to call in and join us to talk about your dysfunctional family around the holidays, 602-252-1480. This movie, Alicia Witt plays an estranged daughter who makes a surprise visit home for Thanksgiving and clashes with her stepmother, played by Cheryl Hines, and her sister, Sonia Walger, while her half-brother, Ashton Holmes, tries to keep a massive gambling debt a secret. So everyone's got these financial problems. Meanwhile, the family patriarch, played by Peter Bogdanovich, has his own dramatic news to share. It's playing exclusively at Harkins Valley Art. It's the great Thanksgiving. I'm not saying if it's a thumbs down or thumbs up yet, but it's a great Thanksgiving-themed movie. We don't have very, very many of those. And so what did you think from the trailer, Dave?
I thought it looked like my type of movie. Yeah. Relationships, funny, meaningful.
Yeah, and financial stuff, and you love that stuff too.
I didn't see the financial stuff.
Well, he's got a gambling debt. Everyone is asking Peter Bogdanovich's character for money.
Oh, I didn't see that as financial. I thought that was lack of financial.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But it did look good. The trailer looked very good.
Right, and at one point in the trailer, did you see what Alicia Witt's character does? She jumps up on the table. And she does something to Cheryl Hines' character.
I think she was stabbing her.
She stabbed her with a fork.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And yeah, and you know what? I think that, you know what they say? It's not really Thanksgiving until somebody gets stabbed with a fork.
Wow, don't tell Greg that. Don't stab me with a fork. And welcome, Mr. Greg. Oh,
it
here.
Yeah.
Oh, you're what?
It might happen.
Jeez.
I've been stabbed with a fork.
Well,
yes, you have. I remember that.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, that's... Okay. All right.
Not me.
I guess we're passing
Wasn't
on that.
Me.
All right. Would you guys stop forking around?
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. You know, so they might not really say that about Thanksgiving, but it's certainly true in these dysfunctional family holiday movies. You know, so to say that Cold Turkey doesn't really stand out from the crowd, it really doesn't. It's more of a standard dysfunctional family movie, but it does that really, really well. You know, and... It's a lot of fun to watch another family go absolutely berserk and fight and argue over the holidays, because so long as it's not your family, it's funny, right?
No.
No.
No, it stabbing with the fork looked horrible.
It was yes, it did look horrible, and it was a terrible
thing to do. She looked like he died.
Well, she doesn't die. I'm not going to share what happens, but she doesn't die. Oh. But yeah, so it's just these characters are you know, at each other's throats, and these people are self-destructing during the holidays, and we're all we know that all too well. You know, as we said, and we're going to talk about throughout the show today, all these dysfunctional family moments. So, but best of all, the director here doesn't sugarcoat the ending. He honors the fact that family feuds lead to lonely lives. That's,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of how it's just the truth. That's how the movie ends. That's how these family feuds end.
That's the theme.
Yeah, and that's the theme. So I am giving Cold Turkey a thumbs up.
I thought you would.
I recommend that you go and see it exclusively at the Harkins Valley Art. And again, the theme is family feuds lead to lonely lives. Dave, is that true?
Yes, it is. In certain cases, family feuds happen, first of all the time. I think it's very common. Yet some family feuds are so deep that they are never repaired. That's when it really becomes a problem. That's unfortunate because that does lead to lonely lives. Yet it's just not the lonely lives it leads to that is most significant. It's the lack of growing by both parties to look deep within themselves to understand the defense mechanisms that were set up in the first place. So it really stifles growth by each of the family members, and they become stubborn. They go into that everyone's right, and they never get beyond that limited perception. That's the bigger problem than the lonely lives.
Oh, it absolutely is. But we know that these blow-ups happen at the holidays, and it's kind of like, you know, that's part of it, right?
Well,
it doesn't need to be.
Yeah, unfortunately, but yeah, it is.
Yeah, and it just means that we all, you know, we love each other, and we want the best for each other. And again, I'm sure at 11 o'clock, our life coach guest is going to be able to share a lot of insight about why we fight during the holidays especially. And I think we mentioned it last week, the stress levels are pretty high during the holidays as well. Because we look at our lives through a magnifying glass.
So how would you define stress?
How would I define stress? Just pressure.
So pressure.
Pressure to be perfect, and pressure to make it a memorable holiday event.
So in life in general, in business and whatever. So stress is pressure. So there's certain standards, right, that
yes.
You're comparing it to. And if you meet the standards, less stress. Or is it less stress? Or is stress always there no matter if you meet or go below the standards?
My head's like spinning right now.
Oh, wow. So that's stressful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very. Okay. Why are you putting so much stress on?
Oh,
Dave, I hate you.
Yeah.
Why do you always do this here?
Put the fork down.
I'm going across the table.
But I think stress is a real problem. And actually, stress leads to, well, let's ask a medical professional. Stress can contribute and sustain medical problems, right, Tricia?
Yes, a lot of it has to do with the manner in which you cope with your stress. Because stress can be positive stress as well as negative stress.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're always used to the positive stresses. You know, the holidays really are a positive stress. We're celebrating each other together. But because we're family, we also have that built-in knowledge that no matter what, we're still family. You would never treat your friends the way you treat your family sometimes. So
that's
when you're
true.
Under stress, sometimes you're short with your family. And I think that's what leads to the whole thing there.
Yeah.
But how you cope with your stress is huge. Some people turn it internal and they end up getting sick.
Yeah, and that's a problem. I think learning how to do that is valuable. I remember a couple years ago, you know, during Christmas, obviously, I have a question. Why are the stores always crowded during Christmas? Why can't they make Christmas another time?
What?
Okay. Just thought I'd throw that out.
It didn't make any. Okay.
I know it didn't. But
Dave's
the thing
random
is.
Random enlightenment.
Exactly.
Yes.
You can use that sometime.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, parking, you know, you wait for a parking spot. Have you ever had this happen and someone zips in and you've been there 10 minutes and they just come around the corner?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That happened to me.
It did.
And what did I do?
You didn't get the Tickle Me Elmo, I bet.
The who?
What?
I have Tickle Me Elmo.
Uh-oh.
I like that.
I don't even know what that means.
Dave.
We probably can't say that, right? But I don't know what it means.
It was a toy that was hugely, hugely popular that people were like beating each other up to try to get.
Like Cabbage Patch Kids.
Oh, like that Jingle Bells movie with...
okay, yes.
Yeah, Sinbad.
Jingle All the Way.
Yeah. And Arnie. So what did I do? What did you do when that happened to you?
I beeped the horn.
And what happened?
And pounded on my steering wheel.
Did they leave?
No. Wow. Yeah, that's
they didn't leave.
No, they didn't leave.
And, why? And I got out of my car.
That they were going to pull a gun out and shoot me.
I should have thought of that. But I got out of my car, left my car in the lane, and said, hey, I've been waiting here 15 minutes. And the husband said, okay, I'll move.
Oh.
Wow. You must have been intimidating.
No.
Did you, like, have a club in your hand or something?
No, I don't know. I must have been insane. I don't know why I did that.
Oh, your hair was just all messy, and then I'm not messing with this guy.
No, they said, oh, Ron, I'll do anything for you. I'll leave right away, Ron. Okay.
Right.
So that's what happened. But that stress, I mean,
yes,
people go nuts during the holidays. Yeah. I mean, they want gifts, and they want the perfect gift, and they don't have...
So it's only natural that we fight with our family members, because they're the ones that are around us, and, you know, they're the ones that we want to make it perfect for.
Do you fight with Frozen?
Yes, of course, all the time.
Wow,
yes.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I'll share some of my holiday dysfunctional family moments throughout the show as well, and I hope that you will as well. And, you know, I'm not going to give out the phone number right now, because we're going to have a special guest in our next segment, but let's go into a break, and the song that's going to take us on our break is Home for the Holidays. It's not from Home for the Holidays. It really should have been. Perry Como sings it. Holly Hunter plays a woman who, after losing her job and finding out that her daughter plans to spend Thanksgiving with her boyfriend, has to face spending the holiday with her family and wonders if she can survive their crazy antics. Robert Downey Jr., Anne Bancroft, Dylan McDermott, and Claire Danes also star. It is a terrific, terrific movie.
Wow, I want to see that. I think I did. Anyway, we'll take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion in the world of entertainment. This is Breakthrough Entertainment Live here. We'll be right back.
Happy in a million ways. For the holidays, you can't beat home, sweet home.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
She used to work in a diner. Never saw a woman look finer. He used to order just to watch her float across the floor. She grew up in a small town. Never put her roots down. Daddy always kept moving, so she did too.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live here in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, the host, alongside Joseph Erdo. And
it's our dysfunctional family holiday show. Special.
Yeah. I think people can relate to that during the holidays.
Oh, absolutely.
Unfortunately,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And is that why you invited me to join you today?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, he also thought you were going to bring a turkey since it's our holiday
show.
Well,
now that
well.
You're married, you're dysfunctional.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and oh, I did great. See a sandwich in the fridge, so we know that Eric
yes,
will be eating
later.
Yes,
that is my sandwich. Don't
that's your
touch
sandwich?
My sandwich.
We're going to have a cornucopia feast over here.
It look good.
I haven't even seen the sandwich yet. Does it look good?
Yeah, it looks wonderful. Excellent.
Yeah, it's half gone.
Yeah.
Well, the why is it only half a sandwich, by the way?
Yeah, I was...
Dave, did you touch my sandwich?
No.
Oh, he didn't. Though.
Oh, you did?
Huh?
You what? Touched it?
And the song that brought us in from the break.
Where's Greg? Is he touching my sandwich?
He's eating your sandwich.
No, the other half is going to Greg now. Rachel Getting Married, another dysfunctional family movie. That was Unknown Legend by one of the stars, Tunde Adebimpe. Anne Hathaway plays a young woman who, having been in and out of rehab for the past 10 years, returns home for the weekend for her sister's wedding. Rosemarie DeWitt, Bill Irwin, and Deborah Winger also star. That's a great dysfunctional family movie. So, you know, yeah, take a look at that one. It's Rachel Getting Married.
Rachel Getting Married.
Yes.
Okay.
And so now we have a really special guest, you know, coming up on December. Well, our guest is here by phone today, but the event is Filmstock Film Festival. It's going to take place Friday, December 5th through Sunday, December 7th at Tempe Pollock Cinemas. And we're going to tell you all about it today, but we have the festival director, James Lee, joining us. Thank you so much.
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. Thank you so much for being on Breakthrough Entertainment. So tell us a little bit about Filmstock Film Festival. I understand it's just really four states, right, that participate?
Yeah, yeah. So we're a little bit different. We're a short film festival, so you get to watch every block of screenings that we have is 90 minutes of fantastic shorts from around the world. And we take our top four films from this festival, and we're going to go ahead and show them at Filmstock in Albuquerque, Filmstock in Denver, and Filmstock in Salt Lake City. So we're in New Mexico, Colorado, and Utah on top of Arizona. It's part of our effort to give Arizona film and Arizona filmmakers just some more exposure, as well as exposure from filmmakers from those other states as well.
Wow, exciting. And they're all shorts. And what are the lengths? Do you have like a range of lengths for these shorts?
Yeah, there's a wide variety. You know, we typically take films that are no more than 30 minutes, and most of our films are going to be in the 10 to 15 minute range. We got some that are as short as 3 or 4 minutes, and then we have one that's 28 minutes long, and another that's 36 minutes long. And if you go on our website, you can kind of tell by the amount of films that are in a block, you know, kind of divide it by 90 divided by the amount of films that are in there. You can kind of get a sense of what the average length is. But it's cool because in independent films, sometimes you go and watch a movie and you don't know anyone who's in the movie because there's usually no big name actors. We have a big name actor in one of ours, but you know, maybe you sit through it and 15 minutes in, you're like, oh man, I got to sit through the rest of this movie. But with a short film, what's cool is that if you don't like what's playing for whatever reason, you can wait about 10 minutes and something else will come on and maybe you'll like that too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because, you know, we're strong supporters of the Phoenix Film Festival, and we're, you know, we love that film festival. We go every year, and, you know, I love the shorts program. It's very exciting. And so tell us, I know that you mentioned that there is a big-name actor by the name of Benedict. I always butcher his last name. Do you know how to
say it? Benedict Cumberbatch, yeah. He's you may know him as Smaug in the upcoming Hobbit movie.
Yes, yes.
He's in a short film that we have playing called Inseparable. It's a really interesting UK film that we were able to get this year. We were all really excited about it because not only does it have star power, it's actually a really amazing short film on top of that.
Wow, exciting. And so, you know, the shorts, how many are from Arizona, first of all? Is it 10 of them? Did I understand that right?
So there's 10 official selections. About half of those are from in-state, so people who either call Arizona home or shot the film in Arizona or shot and live here. So kind of a mix of those. And then we have another five that are official selections from all over the place. We have one from California. We have a couple from Australia. Actually, Australia seems to be really booming and just churning out not only great entertainment, but their celebrities as well.
Great. And now do people get to actually speak with some of the directors and actors? Is it one of those kind of festivals?
Yeah, it is. So we're really excited about that. There's about five, six of the filmmakers who will actually be there on top of lots of other filmmakers just from the Valley that you'll get to meet. But another thing that we're doing this year that I'm really excited about is that every showing is hosted by a local celebrity of some kind.
Oh.
So there'll be at least 20... what we call named actors that are here in the Valley who work on anything from commercials, horror flicks, all the way up to feature films. And not only will they be at the fest, but they're part of the show as well. So when you settle in for your screening, you'll see a little, Saturday Night Live monologue routine from these personalities. And it's all part of making the show better and incorporating the community more into what we're doing.
Oh, very cool, very cool. And, you know, a little bit later on in a few moments, I'm going to give an email address where we've got some admit to all access passes to the film festival, and so we'll give the email address where people can win those, and, you know, they can also go to the website. Could you give us the website real quick?
Yeah, the website is filmstockfilmfestival.com, and on it you can see our schedule, our program, our trailer, basically everything that you need to know about the fest. But we're too afraid to ask.
Right. And so what is the program like? Can they see all the shorts, or how are they categorized?
So we break them up into genres. So we've got two drama blocks, a comedy block. We have a documentary block that's mixed in with a film challenge that's actually going on right now called the iFest, where filmmakers have 48 hours to make a film about the trail using nothing but their iPhone or their cell phone to actually shoot the movie. So you'll get to see those as well.
Wow.
And then we have an actor showcase and competition where you'll get to see more live actors actually do what they do in front of casting directors, except in front of a crowd, and you'll get to see some art and animated shorts along with that performance as well. So every block on the program has a genre, so you kind of predict what you're getting into when you go and watch the short film.
Now, I know that, who votes for the winners, and how is that decided?
So there's two types of awards. We have some esteemed judges who watch the films and give out awards like Best Cinematography and Best of Fest. But every showing, the audience will be able to vote on each film, how much they liked it. And the audience is what chooses really what I think is one of the most important awards of the festival, the Audience Choice Awards. So It's very participative. Not only do you get to talk to the actors and filmmakers, you get to, you know, through your votes, say which one that the audience liked most, and we move that one on to other states.
Great, great. Now, I'm sure that I know the answer to this, but you don't have any favorites that you'd want to share with us, would you?
Oh, well, I like them all. That's probably the answer you were expecting, right?
yes.
But there are some real fantastic shorts. I'll point out a couple. Local filmmakers, Synthetic Human, it's a local production company here, and they've been with us since the beginning back in 2009, just always cranking out fantastic material. You'll you'll never sit through a synthetic human film and be bored, basically. So they came out with their new movie, Astray, and that's 36 minutes long, and it's really, really good.
I was in their first movie.
Oh, really?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, at Best Derivative.
Eric?
Oh, no, that's Friar's Lantern.
Oh, yeah, synthetic. No, so I was in a synthetic film, too. I was in I'm Voting Republican.
Oh, yeah, Charlie Stakes directed that. Yeah, so Charlie's great.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and Synthetic's a great team, and their film will be playing December 7th during our High Drama Block, as well as a film from New Mexico featuring some people from the Breaking Bad show called Those That Play Your Clowns, about a down-on-his-luck actor. And it's both a sobering tale, but it has some humor in it as well. And, you know, 20 minutes seems like 5 minutes at that short.
Wow. Well, it sounds very, very exciting. And so, again, we want to really encourage people to go out and see these shorts, support the local filmmakers. I would say that's probably the most important thing, because we have some great talent here. I've done a few interviews with them, and I know that Arizona is a great place for the filmmaking talent and acting talent as well. So, again, thank you, James Lee, on behalf of the Filmstock Film Festival. It's taking place Friday, December 5th through Sunday, December 7th at Tempe.
It's actually Saturday, December 7th, but you're off by one day. It's all good.
Oh, it's Thursday through Saturday.
Right.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, Thursday through Saturday, and you know, enjoy it at the Tempe Pollock Cinemas. And again, James Lee, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys, and have fun with the rest of the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And, you know, so, yeah, as I mentioned a few moments ago, we're giving away some passes, all-access passes to see the Filmstock Film Festival. And so don't call. It's not one of those contests. We want you to email us entertainmentbreakthrough@gmail.com. That is entertainmentbreakthrough@gmail.com, all one word. It doesn't matter, uppercase, lowercase, doesn't matter. entertainmentbreakthrough@gmail.com. And I'm going to throw your name in a raffle, and you know, if you win it, you get an admit to all access pass to the film festival. So that's really exciting.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I've got a few of them to give away. So it's not like, you know, you're not, it's not just one that I'm giving away.
And I've been to a film festival and I loved it.
Yeah, and this...
which one was it? The Phoenix.
Yeah, the Phoenix Film Festival.
But this looks really good too. I wouldn't mind just stopping by, talking to some people.
Oh,
too.
I know. I love shorts. And again, they're right here in the valley. These
you love
filmmakers.
Shorts.
I
wear briefs.
Who
I don't know
likes
if that
short
makes...
shorts?
Yeah, I've heard that one. You like briefs or Fruit of the Loom?
What?
I
don't
know.
Do I like them or do I wear them?
Oh, do you wear them?
What? Why would you even say this on the air? Why would you share this thing? Well, anyway, so after the break, we'll review another dysfunctional family movie.
Yes.
That's a brand new one. And the song that's taking us in the break is my favorite Thanksgiving movie of all time, Pieces of April, I Think I Need a New Heart by the Magnetic Fields. Katie Holmes plays a wayward daughter who invites her dying mother, played by Patricia Clarkson, and the rest of her estranged family to her apartment for Thanksgiving dinner. Oliver Platt, Derek Luke, and Allison Pill also stars. It is a really heartwarming and hilarious movie.
I think that sounds familiar. Did I see a preview of that?
You probably
did.
We talked about it last year. And
okay.
It's called Pieces of April.
I mean, was that the guy that had a young teenage girlfriend or something?
I don't recall.
Oh, that's a different one. Or a young 22-year-old girlfriend. Anyway, this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back. So the radio.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum & Speen PC, we want to help you work on your business.
not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. We're live here in Phoenix, Arizona. And holiday seasons are upon us, and it's so nice. You know, it's great to be cheerful during the holidays, isn't it, Joseph?
It is. The people are walking around with smiles on their faces, and they've got Santa hats out on.
Yeah.
And, you know, out there I saw someone with a Santa hat, and then Eric went over and, like, pulled the Santa hat off and said, "Get out of here." So, Mr. Apathy.
That never happened.
And we put a little yarmulke on the guy.
Yeah. But holiday cheerfulness.
Right.
That should be the goal of anyone, right? And everyone.
It should be, in theory,
if you think about it. Yeah.
But it's, you know, dysfunctional families. So, you know, if you have any stories, give us a call, 602-252-1480. That's what we're talking about today. And make sure that it's about the holidays, though. I mean, and 602-252-1480.
I don't know what Thanksgiving movie that song was from. I was trying to
think. It wasn't a Thanksgiving movie. It's
Beverly
just a dysfunctional family movie.
Oh, okay. That's not a dysfunctional family
movie. It's also from a Christmas movie from Love Actually, which I'm sure we'll be.
I love that movie.
Yes, I
you
sort
did too.
Of remember that.
But this one is from Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins.
Roscoe Jenkins?
Yes.
What's that?
Martin Lawrence. So that's Jump for My Love, Pointer Sisters. Martin Lawrence plays a successful talk show host, Dave Isaac, who leaves Los Angeles to reunite with his family in the Deep South. James Earl Jones, Mike Epps, Michael Clark Duncan, Monique, and Cedric the Entertainer also star. And, you know, so you could apply it to a lot of different movies as well, you know, dysfunctional families. Any of the Madea movies, that's all about dysfunctional families.
I like Tyler Perry, but I don't like the Madea movies.
I like the Madea.
You that's do?
The, yeah. I like
Did you
Madea
like
movies.
Hunger Games?
No.
Okay.
Well, I thought it was
Mamma Mia? You like Mamma
yes,
Mia?
Yes, I like Mamma Mia, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, and that's a dysfunctional family as well. I would think that would apply. And the Klumps, Nutty Professor, the Klumps, that's a very dysfunctional family. Hmm. Hercules, Hercules, Hercules. Okay. But anyway.
You know what? I think all families could be considered dysfunctional in one way or another. And what's so fun about these kind of movies is that you're looking at this other family who's so over the top in their dysfunctionality that it makes yours look normal.
Exactly. That's right. That's the benefit of watching something like Cold Turkey, which I gave it a thumbs up to, because it makes your family look, you know, pale and pale in by comparison.
That's a good, point.
Really. I think the Nutty Professor crew was pretty normal, though. I mean, in my family, they sit at the table, let out some gas.
And I like Donnie and Maria. Donnie Marie.
What?
I used to think they were married.
Yeah,
honestly,
that
would have
been really dysfunctional.
I love Lamp.
What?
I love Lamp.
So, yeah, and Ron Burgundy as well.
Okay.
And Ron Burgundy and his news team is making their way to New York pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple weeks away.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's going to be good, right? You're going to see it?
Yeah.
Well, you may have to. Ron Burgundy.
Yeah. That's good. Very good.
So a lot of holiday movies still coming up, you know, around Christmas. But, you know, so we've got another one that's opening. It opened yesterday. It's called Nebraska. It's in black and white. Mm. And it is directed by Alexander Payne.
Yeah, he's been a pain.
No, he
hasn't. Sideways.
Sideways.
And Descendants.
And The Descendants, yes.
I love those two. Two of my favorites.
He's made a lot of great movies over the years. And this movie, again, it's called Nebraska. It's playing exclusively at Harkins Camelview. I believe that it will expand in a couple weeks. But right now, if you want to see it, it's exclusively at Harkins Camelview. And in it, Will Forte from Saturday Night Live and MacGruber, he plays a man who grudgingly agrees to drive his tempestuous father, played by Bruce Dern, to Nebraska to claim a million dollar prize that he is convinced that he has won via magazine sweepstakes. Dave, I think we kind of talked about this a little bit on Thursday because we had on one of the other actors, Bob Odenkirk, from this. You can hear that interview exclusively on BreakRadioShow.com. You can hear the whole thing, including I asked him about his short for Movie 43.
Yes.
And
you know, it's interesting. Even though Odenkirk was on Breaking Bad, which, you know, is a drama.
Yeah, he's great in that.
Absolutely. You know, you're used to seeing him do funny things. But same with Will Forte. I've never seen, and this
do
looks
dramatic.
Like a drama.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's weird because you just think about MacGruber and just... Right. All that he did.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
quite an interesting role for these people, and you know. But again, it's in black and white. So at first glance, what did you think of the trailer?
I thought it looked good. Bruce Dern has been around a long time. He was in Big Love for a while. Mm-hmm. One of his more recent appearances when he was younger. I think it was in Western, sort of an evil guy a lot.
And, yeah.
But it looked like a good movie. It's sort of a down-to-earth, heartwarming movie about maybe hope for others. I mean, Bruce Dern, I think his name was Woody in the movie, didn't seem to care about the $1 million. He just had something to do. I mean, he even made a statement about that. He says, you know, what good is $1 million, basically?
Yeah, but it's something to do, and if it's out there, if the prize is out there.
But it riled up the town, it looked like, and it was really interesting. He became sort of well-known for a while there that everyone thought he won $1 million, and it showed how people's values were about money. But Bruce Dern, his character, didn't seem like, okay, I won something. Let's go over there and pick it up.
Well, have you known anyone to believe those magazine sweepstakes things where they get
the
mail?
Yeah, on the elderly.
Yes, they do.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I've never believed it, but I've seen people believe that, and they rely on that as part of their most significant, profound thing in life.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of elderly, and this will make Dave really excited, because, of course, one of his favorite directors is Ron Howard, and his dad, Rance Howard's in this movie, and Rance Howard is old. You know, there's no putting that behind. He's, you know, about 85 years old, and he's still going strong acting, so that means, Ron Howard's dad, you have another good 30 years of Ron Howard probably directing
movies. I do like Ron Howard's phenomenal.
If it runs in the family.
Right, yeah.
Really,
yeah.
His dad? Dad's in it, huh?
Yeah.
There's a lot of older actors in this film, and you know. So at first, when I was going to go see this movie, I was not looking forward to it because even though I love, you know, The Artist, black and white, and Blanca Nieves, another black and white film, I really you know, when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is so old-fashioned. I'm gonna be so bored watching it. It's black and white, and it looks so, you know, just, like, simple. And you know what? It is really extremely, extremely simple. But it's also exceptionally special.
Oh,
this
nice.
This is a breakthrough.
Yay!
Yes. You
I
really,
thought it could be. I think I'll like it.
You were wasting your time with the Hunger Games. You have no idea.
Yeah, really.
Yes, he really was. But and I know you like well, it. I know he likes it.
Well, he does. I haven't seen the Hunger Games yet. I may eventually, but... Jennifer Lawrence, though.
I know.
She is beautiful.
She is. Yeah.
I know.
That's the only good thing. Yeah. By the way, I hear Bruce Dern's being talked up about getting an Oscar for this.
He might. He very well might.
Really?
Because there's a lot of great acting in this movie, and it is a very dysfunctional family. Because when you've got that addition of money, possible money in you know,
play.
In the air, yeah, in play, then that brings up a lot of dysfunction because people think that they are owed money, people think that they deserve the money, people think that, hey, you know, you can give me some money. So, yeah, that brings up a lot of that. And but again, it's a breakthrough. This is Alexander Payne's, you know, one of his best works. But I think that could be applied to a lot of his movies.
Mm.
And, you know, so it is black and white, and it moves along at a very measured pace. It literally takes time to appreciate the picturesque landscapes of Nebraska and all this. I mean, literally, Alexander Payne, you know, shows these landscapes and just takes the time on those. But this deliberate approach only teaches patience. I was really taught patience during this movie because it has got such a rewarding payoff, not only with an enjoyable journey that includes a really hilarious misunderstanding in the middle of the movie that involves an air compressor, but also emotionally resonant destination. It delivers one of the most life-affirming moments of the year in any movie. The end of this movie is outstanding.
Oh.
And it also teaches empathy, and this is the theme here. It encourages each and every one of us to embrace our family members' eccentricities and never take away anyone's dignity by denying them. In other words, if your family is a little bit eccentric, if your mom has some quirks or if your dad is a little bit weird, don't like tell them not to do that, because that is what makes them them. So, and that is what gives them their dignity. So if someone's going to believe that, you know, that they want to go and win this prize, this magazine sweepstakes, you know, of course you want to, like, be honest with them, but turn it into a good thing. Go on a road trip with them, like Will Forte does in this movie, and you'll have a breakthrough.
And Will does a good job in this?
He does outstanding, yes. I really wanted to talk to him. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but I did get to speak with Bob Odenkirk, and he does a great job
right,
as well.
That's right. Yeah, they're both great.
And the woman, I forget her name, but she's a great actress. The older
she absolutely is.
Bruce Dern's wife in the film.
And yes. Will was great in 30 Rock, too.
Yes.
He played the cross-dresser.
Yeah?
Yeah, he does well as that, yes.
Yeah. Well, you do as well sometimes.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I haven't done it
You
lately.
Really look good in that gown today, though.
Well, thank you so much, Eric.
Well, he did shave his legs. That was important.
I appreciate it.
That's
so
part
much.
Of it, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it feels great to dress up in this gown. It's really comfortable, guys.
So I'm going to challenge Dave, and with that lisp. That
what are you doing?
You didn't ask me my opinion on the theme.
Well, that's what I'm going to say.
Oh.
You have to
say it in a lip?
I just love that MacGruber.
Embrace your family members' eccentricities and never take away anyone's dignity by denying them.
Well, here's my opinion. Embrace your family members' eccentric behaviors. I'll call it that way.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't hurt anyone. I think that's true. As long as it doesn't hurt anyone. That could be a fine line, though. As people get older, they start to value things that maybe they didn't value before. And like I said in the trailer, Woody, who's Bruce Dern, said $1 million is no big deal. It was interesting. His values flip, where the whole audience that he had in town seemed to really put that on a pedestal. So you knew each person's values were a little different. So the question is, what do our listeners value in life? I think it's always good to reexamine that. What's your true value? If you really don't know, just look where you spend your time, because where you spend your time is where you value most things. So if you're watching football all day in a bar all day, if you're a workaholic all day and night, then that's where you may value it. But balance is always important. So I think that it's compassion is what you're talking about, Joseph.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Have compassion for other people. Your family members and those who aren't your family members as well.
And what goes around comes around. Go ahead.
And I'm sorry, when they're no longer in this earth, what are you going to remember most about Granny? You're going to remember her straddling that bowling ball, throwing it down, and getting a strike after it rolled for 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, those are the things you remember. Those are the things that bring a smile to your face.
Good point.
And so when push comes to shove, that's what's important.
Also, speaking of straddling, it was an interesting movie on Thursday, Cameron Diaz and the Ferrari or whatever.
She straddles a car.
Absolutely.
And I won't repeat some of the things that we described, but you can go to breakthroughshow.com.
You were out and about networking, yeah, whatever.
Doing your thing.
We also started talking about
North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah. Suckerfish.
The show came to an end. A lot of the businessmen were walking over. What's this about Cameron Diaz? And, you know.
Right.
I didn't
know
that.
Interesting. Yeah. But coming up after our break, we're going to have on life coach Marie Dubuque. She's going to tell us all about how to survive your family dysfunction during the holidays, and she's going to be fielding your call. So if you've got any questions, give us a call, 602-252-1480. Again, that's 602-252-1480, and Marie Dubuque will help you solve some of your family dysfunction. This song is from Nebraska. It's called Their Pie, and Mark Orton is the artist. But just to mention another dysfunctional family movie, it's called When Do We Eat? A family's Passover gets screwy after the patriarch unknowingly ingests a hit of ecstasy. So that gets pretty dysfunctional, as you can imagine.
Very.
With some drugs involved.
That is very, very odd. Anyway, so when we come back from our break, we have another special guest.
Yeah, Marie Dubuque.
Marie Dubuque.
Yeah, so get in line. Give us a call, 602-252-1480, 602-252-1480. We want to hear your dysfunctional family holiday moments, some of your stories and some of your questions.
If you want, we can put you guys on speaker, too, and just have you go at it on the phone. That'd be phenomenal.
And the listeners can learn that maybe some of their behaviors in life aren't conducive to health, happiness, and prosperity.
Yeah, this is our own personal version of Dear Abby.
So it's not just focusing on dysfunction. It's teaching people perhaps there's another way to live that is happier, healthier, wiser, smarter, being a great role model, you name it. We'll be right back.